Hey, this is Pastor Garlock from First Christian Church in King City, Missouri. We're glad that you found our podcast, and we pray that the contents of this podcast are a blessing to you and to yours. Enjoy. I want to say two things to set this up. One of them has to do with the verses, and one of them is just a little bit extra to let you know that the early church, I mean, right after Jesus ascended, that church, the church that was meeting faithfully in the first century, they struggled with this group called the Gnostics, okay? And the Gnostics believed in Jesus, but they didn't believe that he had really come in flesh. They believed that he was just a spirit, and he put on a good show, that he looked human, but he really wasn't. And Luke is careful. I want to set that up because Luke is careful here to use these words of Jesus, that Christ is the God of flesh and bone, that he was really a person, that he really lived, he really died, and come on, he really rose from the grave. Okay? So we want to guard against that because we wouldn't call it Gnosticism in 2024, but we can think about flesh as evil and spirit as good. And that's really what Luke is guarding against when he shares this narrative in Luke 24, 36. He wants us to understand, and I'm getting ahead of myself now, but he wants us to understand that Christ has redeemed even what it means to be flesh and bone. That flesh and bone is not evil, but flesh and bone has been redeemed through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing I need to point out, and this does have to do with the narrative, right before we start reading, I didn't want to read you the whole chapter because Hooked on Phonics worked for me, but not as well as I would have liked it to. But right before we pick up our narrative here in Luke 24, 36 is the story we get with Jesus walking on the road to Emmaus with the two disciples, and he reveals himself through the breaking of bread, and there's beauty in that story, but that's not what God laid on my heart to share. But that's where we pick up our narrative, right after that story here in Luke 24, 36. If you haven't found it by now, I don't know what to tell you. And if you haven't got your Facebook updated by now, I don't know what to tell you either. Luke 24, 36 through 43. Here we go. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. And he said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, Jesus says this to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Why does it matter that Jesus took it and ate it in their presence? Because he's not a spirit. He is flesh and bone. The God who bleeds and the God who eats. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your Holy Spirit that is among us right now. Thank you for the hope that we found in worship today, that you're the God who delivers us, not just from bondage, but in our day-to-day issues and our day-to-day problems and the day-to-day circumstances that we face, you're the God who has come alongside of us. A God who is not just simply with us, but a God by the power of the Holy Spirit who is in us. Lord, as we look at Holy Scripture today, I pray that you would anoint my lips to say your words and that you would open your people's ears to hear and hearts to receive. We thank you for the truth of Scripture, and we thank you for the truth, the living Word, Jesus Christ, who is among us right now. Holy Spirit, do your work, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Point number one this morning is, why are you troubled? So this is Luke's account of what we talked about last week in the Gospel of John. The disciples are hiding behind locked doors for fear. If you were here last week, you remember that They're in a prison of their own making, a prison of fear of their own making. And here we find them. And Jesus walks again. Just to remind you, Jesus walks into the midst of their fear. And here again speaks peace. Amen. Man, I've experienced this. I hope you have too. I experienced a little bit of it this week where I was troubled in my heart and I felt the presence of Jesus come in and speak peace to me. Man, if you haven't experienced that, we serve the same God, the same Jesus that walked in to these disciples, the same God can walk into your fear and speak peace into your anxiety, speak peace into your worry, speak peace into your doubt. Amen. But Jesus asked this question. I need to get away from last week and get into this week. Jesus asked this important question that I want to ask you. Jesus says to his disciples, why are you troubled? That's point number one. Why are you troubled? Jesus cares, right? Jesus walked through a wall to get in here to them, okay? He knows why they're troubled. Okay, are you with me? He walked through a wall to get to them. He's been to hell and back. He's alive. Conqueror of Satan, sin, and death. The holder that Revelation tells us, he holds the keys of death and of hell and the grave. Jesus knows why they're troubled, but Jesus cares. So he asks them, why are you troubled? And I believe one of the reasons that God laid this heart, this message on my heart this morning is to ask you that question. Why are you troubled? Why are you troubled in spirit? That word troubled means to stir or to agitate. Living stirred up and agitated is destructive for our souls. And we live in a culture that is always looking for something new to be agitated about. Right? Always finding something new to be angry about. It happened last Sunday for Easter. I'm not going to get into the details of it. But the left was mad at the right for doing something. The right was mad at the left for doing something. And we live agitated constantly. Constantly there's a new thing to be stirred up about. Let me tell you something. That is destructive for your soul. And secondly, and maybe more importantly, that is not God's will for you. Be living agitated and stirred up is not God's will for you. We live in a culture that is worried and troubled about many things. Personal issues, past, present, and future. Family issues, financial issues, social issues, and sin issues. These all can cause anxiety or trouble to our inward hearts. The disciples here are troubled. They don't know what to make of what has happened over the weekend. They saw Jesus die on the cross. That's troubling. They don't know what to do with what's in front of them, the living Jesus. We saw you dead, but you just walked through the wall and spoke peace to us. They don't know what to do with what's in front of them. And listen to me, this is what I need to say, and we're going to move on. But it seems to me like in the midst of their fear, behind their locked doors, the disciples don't have a place for a living Jesus in their narrative. That can happen to us. We can get comfortable in our prison of fear. We can get comfortable in our trouble. We can get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And it can be home to us. Listen to me. Chaos can become home to you if you're not careful. Sometimes it's a chaos of our own making, and sometimes it's a chaos that has been handed to us. Can I say it this way? Chaos is not God's will for you. Chaos is what was happening to the decreation of the unknown before Genesis 1:1. And when the voice comes and says, let there be light, order comes to the chaos. That's what creation is. It's order in chaos. And so when Paul says those that are in Christ are new creations, he's saying God brings order to your disorder. And I think sometimes we can get caught up in our own narrative where a living Christ doesn't fit. That's what trouble is. Trouble is a place that we can get into where it's all despair, it's all hopelessness, even in the church. Man, I know Christians right now that are stirred up because of the earthquakes and the famines and the eclipse tomorrow. I know Christians that are troubled by these things. If you are troubled today, I want to ask you, can you recognize the living Jesus that is among you? If you are troubled today, if you're living in fear, if you're living in worry, if you're living in anxiety, can you recognize that Jesus is still alive today? And this same Jesus that we find here in Luke is the Jesus that comes alongside of us and speaks peace. So let me ask you again, and then we'll move on. Why are you troubled? And can Jesus, the living Christ, can he fit in the narrative of your trouble? And what will he do? What do you suppose if you invite Jesus into your trouble, what do you suppose Jesus will do? Will he be worried with you? Will Jesus help you figure out some worst case scenarios that you didn't think of? Or will Jesus step into your prison of fear and speak peace? Amen. Come on, I'm preaching good to you today. I'm going to get bold. Some of y'all in the room today need to step out of your prison of anger. You've grown comfortable with how mad you are and who you're mad at. And it's time to let that Jesus come in and cast that fear and anger out of you by speaking peace. Somebody in the room has used the past as a crutch. It is what it is. It'll never be different. It'll always be like this. I believe that Jesus has come to you today to speak a better word over your life. That you don't have to live in the reality of the past. That you don't have to live with those hurts. In just a minute, we're going to say, you don't have to live with those wounds. Because the risen Christ, when he steps into your narrative, he speaks peace. He brings hope. He brings a future. Not that we just forget, but that we can learn and grow and move into something more beautiful that God has for us. Amen. I know I'm preaching to somebody because y'all stopped saying amen a little bit ago. Point number two is flesh and bones. It's important for Luke to tell us that Christ is flesh and bones. Jesus did not come. Listen to me. Please hear me this morning. Jesus did not come to help us to escape flesh and bone. Let me say it as clearly as I can. Jesus did not come to help us escape our humanity. If your Christianity is about an escape hatch that you pull, that's not why Jesus came. Jesus came to redeem flesh and bone. Jesus came to redeem what it means to be human. We talked about this on Good Friday, that in the flesh of Christ, he has redeemed what it means to be human. And we're going to double down on it today. I want to tell you this morning that you are sacred. That word sacred means connected with God. It means dedicated for a spiritual or religious purpose. So let me say it one more time. You are sacred. In Genesis chapter 2, Scripture tells us that we are created in the image of God. You're connected to God because you're created in the image of God. David picked up on this in Psalm 139, 14, and he said, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Every person is sacred because they are made in the image of God, and it's his breath in our lungs. So you are not an accident. You are not a mistake. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by the God who created all that is good. You are created by a God who only creates good stuff. Amen? Some of y'all don't believe that. So let me say it again. You are created by a God who only makes good things. So I get this question. And it's going to be a long day. Just buckle in because we're away from the notes and I've been away from the notes and we're in trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. But I'll have people come up to me and say, Where did evil come from? What is evil? And that's a fair question. So actually, the church has called evil a problem. The problem of evil. If God's all good and he created all good, then there's a problem because there's evil, right? So I want to submit to you today, since we already touched on it, I want to tell you where evil comes from. Evil is actually anti-creation. It is the chaos of the uncreated order. So when we step outside of God's created order or God's will for us, there we find evil. Evil doesn't come from God. Evil comes when we step away from God's created order. Does that make sense to you? It is anti-creation, and so it is anti-human. It is anti-you. The beauty of Jesus becoming flesh and bone is that Jesus steps into the evil that we created, and he redeems it. He restores it. There's another reason, though, that you are sacred. There's another reason that flesh and bone is sacred, and it's more than just that you were created in the image of God, fearfully and wonderfully made. Flesh and bone is sacred because God became flesh and bone. And I really want you to understand that today. So I've said it now 4 times. I really want us to understand, to grasp onto today, that Jesus was a real human being. That God really became flesh. Every person is sacred because God became a person. Everything Christ touches becomes sacred. And through the human God, humanity is oriented to its full sacredness. That Christ is our reset. Christ is our restart. So to become Christ-like is not to escape our humanity, but listen, to become Christ-like is to become fully human. When I give in to sin, when I give in to that evil, I become less than what God created me to be. Less than human, if you would. That's real close to the edge of being too much. We're flirting with the edge. But I believe it to be true. That when we deny our sacredness, oh, that's a good way to say it. By our lifestyle, when we deny our sacredness, we step away from our God-given personhood, humanity, but Jesus came to bring us back. So to become Christ-like is not to become some spiritual guru that hangs out on mountaintops and doesn't talk to people for years at a time. To become Christ-like is to become fully human. Your true self. Your whole self. Salvation then is not becoming something that you're not. Salvation then is becoming who you truly are. Who you were created to be. Amen. And if I was out there, I'd be saying amen. So I told you a minute ago, and I do need to hurry up because I'm skipping all over my notes. I'm confused about where I am, and some of y'all look really bored. Somebody one time said that they like long-winded preachers because it increases their nap time. And I can see that some of you that said that are here today. But I felt like in this really, this secondary part of point number two is really what I wanted to preach to us today. Because I felt like the Lord wanted me to tell you that it's not only that you are sacred, but it's that your wounds are sacred as well. Because everything Christ touches, Christ redeems. Isaiah 53:5, he, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Your wounds are sacred, that is connected to God, because we worship a wounded God. when we see him face to face, he'll still have the nail prints in his hands. He'll still have the nail prints in his feet. When we see Jesus face to face, he'll still have the wound in his side. We know in the narrative of Thomas that we talked about last week that Thomas asked to touch those things. Here in this narrative in Luke, Jesus invites his disciples to touch his wounds. We worship this wounded God, and what Scripture bears out is that by his wounds, we are healed. By his wounds, our wounds are healed. I said this last week, but I think it's important enough to say again today. This does not mean that God causes our hurts. It does not mean that God causes our heartaches or our wounds. Rather, it means that God has joined us, literally. God has joined us in our wounds and borne them on himself. So humanity is reoriented around its full sacredness, not by ascending to divinity, but by the wounded God. We don't need to get spiritual enough. We need to get close to Jesus. The Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 34. Jesus has breathed his last. And John writes, "One of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out." This wounded God, this one who was willing to pour out all that he has, all of his life force, this blood and water. There's science behind this that we can preach about. There's all kinds of theological aspirations in this narrative about the blood and water coming out of Jesus' side that we could talk about. But really what I need to tell you today is this wounded God meets us in our wounds. We serve this God who has come alongside of us, who 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." The last thing I need to say to us this morning is this, that all that I'm trying to preach to us this morning means one simple thing. That there is a way in which God meets us in our woundedness, in our hurt, and in our sin, because God has already been there as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God was wounded before you were wounded. I'm not taking away from your hurt. That is not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to tell you that you're not alone. There's some that try to blame God in the midst of their wounds. But how can you cast blame on the slain lamb hanging on the cross? He took our sin. He took our hurt. He took our frailty. He took our wounds on the cross. And so he meets us there because he's already been there. So to touch the healing wounds of the Savior of the world is to find healing for your own wounds. And I need to say this and I'm done. But hidden in the wounds of Christ is the healing balm for every sin and every sickness. Hidden in the wounds of Christ is the healing balm for every heartache and rejection, every doubt, every fear, every anxiety, every bit of guilt and shame and condemnation. In the wounds of Jesus, there is healing for your wounds. In the wounds of Jesus, there is healing for your wounds. So, why are you troubled? Why are you troubled? Why is your heart stirred up? Is it something that happened in your past? Is it something that's happening in your present? Is it mind tripping over something that might happen in your future? Well, for your past, Jesus was there. And if you would allow the Holy Spirit to open your eyes and you were honest with yourself, all of us could look back and see ways, spaces and places where Christ was there, where Christ was faithful even when we weren't faithful, where there were subtle and little graces when Jesus came along and saved us from ourselves when we didn't even ask for it. In our present, if we're honest with ourselves, there are graces like you sitting in these pews today and me wanting to preach something else. But God desiring to heal a wounded one in this house today. By his wounds you are healed. And this same God, Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, well, we don't have to mind trip about the future. Because this God who is not bound by space and time is already there to meet us wherever we're going, to meet us at the Red Sea. Isn't that something that before the children of Israel are released from slavery and bondage, God is already at the Red Sea waiting for them to split it? By his wounds, we are healed. Are you willing to surrender your trouble over to the care of God? For some of you, it's new trouble, something that happened this week or this month. But man, I really feel in my heart that for others of us, it's old trouble. It's stuff that we've carried around for a long time. Maybe you don't even remember when you started carrying it around. But I believe with all of my heart that God sent me to you this morning to invite you into the healing wounds of Jesus.
Hey, it's Pastor Garlock again. I wanted to invite you to one of our worship services. We worship every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. as well as throughout the week. We offer children's programs, Bible study, and small groups. We hope to see you soon here at First Christian Church.